Go ahead and open our Bibles up to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And aren't you thankful that as we're studying these perfect hearted kings, you're reading about what the Lord has put in you. And this is what he's done. He's given you the heart of Caleb. He's given you the heart of David. He's given you the faith of a Rahab. He's given you the encouragement and the love that was known by the Shulamite. Those aren't stories. It's not something that's afar off. It's in us. That's the word of God. I thank the Lord. That's our life. That's our life. Christ liveth in me. The word of God liveth in me. Isn't that glorious? Put the word in there. Hallelujah. Truth, life, all of those things. And we thank God that he's given us everything in giving us his life. And he gave us his life truly for us on the cross, being made sin for us who knew no sin. But he gave his life to live in us. And the only life that lives in us, thank you, Jesus. And everything else is a lie. I was expressing that again to a precious sister that knew John Hill very well. Listen. See that kooky expression when he came to you, and just to really get it's Christ that lives in you. Everything else that's not manifesting of that is a lie, because that's not you. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't he glorious? Isn't he worthy to be praised? So quit criticizing you, quit talking about you, because you no longer, you died. Talk about he that lives in you. Give him the praise. Be confident in that life. Fill that life, flood that life, feed upon that life. You have the life and then you feed upon that life. That's why he said, feed of me, taste me. Glorious, drink of me. Praise the Lord. All right. So these aren't just spiritual attributes. This is alive in us, brothers and sisters. We read about it with King Hezekiah. It said he trusted in the Lord. He cleaved to the Lord. And he did not depart. He remained. And those three things, by the grace of God, all of that, that was the faith that God had given him. That was the grace of God that was with him. He was confident in his Lord. He was confident in God. It wasn't dependent upon his father. He had an ungodly father. We believe that he had a mother that encouraged him in the Lord. Praise God. But he couldn't even be dependent upon that. It had to be true to him. It had to be his. And thanks be to God, we know it was. Because we're going to read about it again here in a minute. But he trusted the Lord beyond all of the kings of Israel before or after him. Nobody was that confident in the Lord. I love that. I can say that by the grace of God, and I've said it before. I hadn't ever met someone that was as confident, that had faith in the Lord, like Brother Hill. I believe it. And I marked that. And I said, well, that's the way it is. It's not him. Yeah, he's a very unique man, very special, obviously. But all of that perishes. It's that life of Christ. It's that life that we have. And it's that same faith that we have, because it's the faith of the Son of God. And all it has to be is grown and grown up and assured constantly. And this is how it goes. And we're reading of it. And this is how it's applied in our lives. But I always thank the Lord. It's faith before works. Amen. It's the trusting God. It's cleaving to God. It's remaining. And then the Lord does the work. It doesn't work. You don't work and then get to that place. Uh-uh. It all is that faith. And it's the faith that worketh by love. And so here we go. Let's talk about this faith that we see here in Chronicles chapter 29 of Hezekiah in verse 2. And it says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. And I thank God that was the mark again. It was the mark. His father David was the man after God's own heart. So it was the perfect-hearted kings. Because the word of God, as we've read and as we know, thank you, Jesus, David had a perfect heart before God. His heart was perfect toward the Lord. And the Lord, again, in knowing that and the foreknowledge of it, thanks be to God, and you see how this is encouraging to us, David reigned. Praise you, Jesus. And he reigned because he had confidence in God. He reigned because he had confidence that the Lord called him, chose him, and we read this last Sunday, the Lord liked him. He liked me. Isn't that beautiful? All those things. And the Lord likes you. You may feel like I do oftentimes, I'm very unlikable, but the Lord likes me. And that's all that matters, and I thank the Lord. And when we have that, we begin really to like one another too. Care for one another and love one another, because that's him. It's not mine, in a sense, me. It's mine because it's him, and I have him. Praise God. So we see that here's the faith, because he followed, if you will, he followed David as David followed God. We follow Paul as he followed Christ. There were and was those examples, and we thank the Lord. So then, because of that faith, let's go ahead and read verse 3. He, in the first year, so here's Hezekiah. So here we go. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites, and he gathered them together into the east street. We're going to talk more about this, Lord willing, even next time we get together, because there's so much here. But that east always spoke of the entrance. It always spoke of the first, the dawning. Praise be to God. So we're talking about the first company. We're talking, as we will get to tonight, in Hezekiah and Josiah, there's so many things that type them as Hezekiah being the Old Testament full overcomer type, and Josiah being the New Testament full overcomer type. And there's a beautiful encouragement that the Lord's going to give us tonight in that. But here's it set. He opens the door. He opens them up. Repairs the doors. And brings in the priests and the Levites. He gathers them together into the east street. He's looking for it to be first. Praise God. And he said unto them, hear me, ye Levites. Sanctify now yourselves. Sanctify the house of the Lord of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. And that filthiness speaks of the idols. They had the idols in the holy place. Get all of that out of there. Get all of that out. Amen? Isn't that something that we always pray for in this? And Brother Hill used to say, we don't want any bit of leaven ever to come in here. We don't want any bit of a pinky fingernail work to come in here. We want to magnify the grace of God. All those things are idols, because when we begin to look at our flesh, that's an idol. It's the most defeating idol there'll ever be. And I thank God, get rid of that filthiness, especially out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Think of how far they got from God so fast. And this really began with Solomon. Think of that. One generation. And a generation that started out so well. But when you entangle yourselves, when you entangle yourselves and are not equally yoked, you don't realize where you'll go so fast. Don't think you're exempt. Do not. And God help us. It truly is something that we need to pursue. We need to assemble ourselves together. Our fellowship needs to be with those of like precious faith. So they have shut up the doors of the porch. They put out the lamps. They have burned incense, not offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah, upon Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, to hissing, as ye have seen with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent. For the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Hallelujah. Isn't this wonderful, brothers and sisters? And notice how that started off in verse 3. It was first and first and first. It was all about the word of God. It was all about the house of the Lord. And this represents the first love. This represents the fully purposed. And this represents the bride for the Lamb. This is exactly what this is. There's a desire. There's a panting for it. And when it says that he opened the doors there in verse 3, that means literally he threw them open. It wasn't get them open a little bit. It wasn't let's take time. It was now. It was powerful. It was let's go in. And let's not delay. Literally threw the doors open. And in that repaired, it means strengthen them. There was courage. And it was not only for himself, it was for his brethren. And that is the mark of the perfect-hearted kings. That's the mark for David. David loved his people. David loved his brethren. He loved them even beyond the love for himself. I thank God. You think about how David loved Saul, even the ones that turned against him, Absalom and his own son that was trying to take the kingdom from him. David loved because David had the perfect heart, because David had the heart that was after God's own heart. That's the mark, and that is the mark for the prize, brothers and sisters. I believe it's called Philadelphia, brotherly love. Amen. Isn't that all throughout the word of God, especially as Paul comes and writes his epistles to those different peoples? He tells them, he says, oh, your faith's wonderful and your love's wonderful and all these things are wonderful. But you know what? Let that love even be more and more for one another. Let it keep growing. And then in Ephesians, isn't that wonderful? That the body would edify itself in love. And that's what's going on. And that's the growth that's going on. And I thank the Lord. That's what he performs because his word is true. So here's what happens. The very first thing he does is he brings in the ministers. He brings in the Levites. See, look what it said there. He brought in the priests and the Levites. That's what he first did. So there was the open. They opened those doors into the tabernacle. The very first thing he brought in there was the word of God. He brought in those that would teach it and preach it, those that were set apart to God. And notice what he said to them, sanctify yourselves and then sanctify the house of God. So you can't help someone with something. You can't give something to someone unless you have it. You have to have it. And I thank the Lord. That was his encouragement to him. And then he encouraged them that you already have it. You're chosen for this. That's how it ended up. Wasn't that beautiful? Stand in it, honeys. Just take what he's already given you. Just awaken to who you are in Christ. We're born in this. This is ours. It was just like they were Levites. Well, you know what? We're sons of God. We're born into this. It's ours. Just awaken to who we are in Christ. They were asleep to it. It was always there for them. Amen. It wasn't that they had to get right. It was faith. Believe it. Stand now. Go in there now. This is the way it's going to be. We're going to trust God. There wasn't great ceremonies. There wasn't any of that. It was just faith. Stand. Take your place. Look what he says there in verse 11. My sons, be not now negligent. Stop it. For the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. I mean, we're going right into the holy place. You've been negligent. And right now we're going to turn it around. We're going to let God give us the faith, and we're going to just step into it like we've always been in it. It's just like the prodigal coming back. Just come back. Just take a step. And it's not that it's step back. You're in it. And it's not that you're just in it. My goodness. You're stepping back into it, not just where you were. It's even more. Because the grace is going to be more powerful. That's why what met him, that prodigal, was the robe, the ring. But it was that hug and kiss. And then everybody was brought in because the feast was waiting. Praise the Lord. And just think of what that brought to the people. It was even more. They were waiting for it. They expected it. But then they had it because love was shed abroad. And this is what this is all about. It was so beautiful. Again, it didn't have to be, but it had to be. And God allowed that to bring more. That God gave that time and allowed them to turn away, but it was to magnify the Lord's grace. I'm going to give you more. And that's what he gave to us, because this was written for us. And think of this. He brings in the teachers. He brings in the preachers, all the things that are necessary for the furtherance of the gospel. He wasn't messing around. All he wanted to do was get right back in to the word of God, right back in to being in harmony with God. Without a teacher, without a preacher, how were they going to know the word of God? And he wanted it as much for him as for them. And again, that's the king's heart. He desires the brethren to assemble. Amen. Amen. He's spiritual. And what was he doing? Restoring them. He didn't pound them down. He said, you know what? We've been negligent. We turned from God. It's been rough. We got hammered. But the Lord loves us. Because this is ours. And we're not going to grovel. We're just going to go in and take the place his grace has always given us. Isn't that glorious? You know, they would have done ceremonies. The pagans wouldn't cut themselves up and say, oh, look what sacrifice we're doing. It wasn't anything of that. It was just go in there and thank him. Go in there. Thank him. He loves you like this. So they threw the doors open. And it's like throwing your heart open to God. And brothers and sisters, continue by the grace of God. Allow the Holy Ghost to throw your heart open to God. Don't let the enemy to get you to back off with that heart. Go. Be bold. Be bold, be bold, be bold. Be bold like the Tamar. That's mine. I don't care how it looks. I'm going in there and getting it. And if you're in the way, you're going to be in my wake. You understand what I'm saying? And Judah didn't want to have anything to do with it. But I'll tell you what, he knew after that, didn't he? And she got what was hers. And again, whether it was Rahab, she got what was hers. Ruth, she was a little bit timid, but she listened to Naomi. Honey, you go in there. And you know what? He really loves you. And I know he does. Get in there right now. Don't delay. That's your place. Don't let anybody else take it. That was pretty bold. But she won the Redeemer. She married him. Isn't that glorious? So this is that heart. This is the David. This is the Shulamite. This is the full overcomer of the Old Testament. And see, they repaired the doors. They didn't just throw them open. They made them strong. I take that they went in there with all truth. They wanted the best. They wanted everything. They wanted the strong meat. This was the place where we were going to feed. We were going to stand. And having done all to stand. Hallelujah. And it was so sweet. He said, get rid of all the filthiness out of there. Just get rid of it. We don't want to have any remembrance of that stuff. And they did. It was all about the fullness of fellowship and truth and love. They needed to repair the doors. They were broken. They were unattended to. And it was all about the word, the presence of God. Once again, bringing in the ministers, bringing in all of those ones that would preach. And in complete sanctification, we are going to be set apart to God. I thank the Lord And I do appreciate, I know God divinely gives us the word. He feeds us so abundantly. We all fed so much on Saturday. It was so glorious. But I was so thankful how it concluded up, and just so perfectly. And I appreciated our sister encouraging us through the book of Philippians. And again, magnifying about that book that there was nothing to be corrected. And that was the beautiful thing about seeing this was Hezekiah. We're getting rid of all of the filthiness. We're bringing in all the word of God. And notice all the word of God got in first before all the filthiness went. Amen? So it's like, again, pouring in into the wineskin. You can't get all the sediments out. You put that word in. You put the spirit in. It'll get it out. It can't hang. It can't. All that filthiness is going to go. And that's why I'm so thankful with the word of his grace. You know, you don't have to worry about the heresies among you. The word of God said there must be heresies. But don't try to identify. Don't go in there trying to do whatever. Just preach the word even more. Preach the word of his grace. You'll either draw nigh or you'll get out. And that's exactly what it'll happen. And that's why I stay. By the grace of God, we just keep standing on that wonderful word. And I thank the Lord in that sermon and in that encouragement. God has brought us to that place that we trust his word completely. That it is the word of his grace. That's all we want. That's all I want. That's all that God has given us a heart for. He's given us his very own heart to want that. It's not that we're perfect people. We'll never have perfect flesh. This is sinful flesh. My goodness, why do you think I got to put it off and put on the incorruptible before I see him face to face? Huh? This is gone. It has a great purpose right now because it's the two natures that without them, I wouldn't be made perfect. I wouldn't be ready. I wouldn't be complete. I wouldn't have the faith, praise God, of my fathers that they went through by the grace of God, understanding, just like Hezekiah said, you've been chosen, stand in it. Don't look at your foolishness. Don't look at what you used to do. Don't even look about what you're probably going to do. God chose you. This is your place. Get in there. Isn't that glorious? And it's for you and it's for your brethren because they needed to get it all together because it wasn't going to happen unless all of them took their place. It's the truth. And so we thank the Lord in this wonderful encouragement. To us, brothers and sisters, we need to settle down in Paul's gospel. And we've got it. Just settle it down in it. Dwell together in marriage, in that matrimony that he's given us. Praise God. My sister, my spouse, we partake, hallelujah, in that. If you're marrying Christ, you're marrying his head and his body. That love better be exactly the same. If it's not, you're not marrying him. You're not. There's no schisms in this body. There's not. And I thank the Lord that's what he's provided. Now, we're going to hesitate, or I shouldn't say hesitate, we're going to stop for just a second. Well, actually not a second, but maybe for the rest of the night on what we're going to talk about right now. And then we'll get back into more of this glory of what was put into Hezekiah's heart. But I had mentioned to you earlier on, and I've told you that the Lord's been just touching my heart so in this study, that Hezekiah, King Hezekiah and King Josiah, those two perfect-hearted kings, those two that fully went after all the ways of David, and those were the only two that fully did. You find as we go through here, and we've already talked about one, and I'll bring it back to your remembrance here, but Hezekiah will represent the full overcomers of the Old Testament, the 24 elders that sit round about the throne that we see there in Revelation chapter 4. And then Josiah will represent the overcomers in the New Testament, the four living ones that are in the midst of the throne, praise God, ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ. So, in that, brothers and sisters, you remember, go on, turn back to 2 Kings chapter 2. Is that chapter? No, that's not 2. excuse me, chapter 18. Apologize there. 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 5. Now this is about Hezekiah. We were just there. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. So as we see this about Hezekiah, when it's giving his the testimony of the Lord in his life, and is giving that full glory of the testimony of the Lord in his life, and is talking about his reigning that he had, and the perfection of the reigning that God gave him, it's always comparing him in that excellence in Israel, all right? So listen to this. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah. So again, right back to Israel, Judah the Jew, nor any that were before him, for he clave to the Lord and departed not. All right? Now, if you read, and let's turn on over to chapter 23 and verse 25, this is speaking about Josiah. And again, the encouragement of the Lord in that full overcomer in his life. And in 23:25, it says, "And Josiah, unto him was there no king before him." Now again, it doesn't mention Judah, does it? It doesn't mention Israel, does it? You see what I'm saying? So what we're seeing here is that in Hezekiah, it kind of tied him back to Israel and Judah. Again, that reference of the Old Testament full overcomers, all right? So in type or metaphor, what we have here with Josiah, it's not any king of Judah. It's not any king of Israel. It's any king. Isn't that glorious? It's like it's a better promise. It was a better encouragement that he had. "And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him." So once again, never mentioning anything about Israel or Judah. It does speak about the law of Moses. Well, praise God. That's the word of God, all right? But it's a precious little truth that jumps out at you. And here we go with the next one that we see in what we've read earlier tonight. So Hezekiah was really the best of what Israel could be, the full overcomer of the Old Testament. And Josiah was the best of what we can have, the pearl of great price. Now, tonight we read that the very first thing that Hezekiah did, what did he do? He threw the doors open, didn't he? What was it that he brought in first? Do you remember? He brought in the priests, didn't he? He brought in the Levites. All right, I want you to read Revelation chapter 4 with me. Let's turn there. And let's talk about the doors of heaven being thrown open. All right, and that's the sound of the trump, the voice of the archangel. It can happen here in about the next 30 seconds, I think. Amen. And it's going to throw the doors of heaven open, because he's the one that can open it and shut it. Amen. So here it goes in chapter 4, verse 1. "After that I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." That door was open. Praise God. "And the first voice which I heard was the voice of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, one that sat on the throne. And he that sat on the throne to look up was like jasper, a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now here, and round about the throne were the 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold." Now, we've studied this many times out. That number 24 is the priestly number of the Old Testament. So the very first thing that you see when heaven is opened, praise God, that the Lord has brought in there is who? The Levites, in a sense, or the priests, praise be to God, or the full overcomers of the Old Testament. So in type, in a sense, what we have here is, here was Hezekiah, the representation of the full overcomers of the Old Testament. He opens up the doors of the tabernacle, and what came in first? The priests, the Levites. And so it's a beautiful little touch here, and you'll see how this kind of goes on. Now, I want you to think about that. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, all right, it says he led captivity captive. Amen? And you know that there in Matthew 27, verse 52, it said that many of the graves were open. Amen? And he took them, and they received glorified bodies, and he took them into heaven. He opened it up. And what did he take at that time? He took the full overcomers of the Old Testament. And where are they seated? Round about that throne. Praise be to God. So here we go again. And if you think about it as well, too, when he led captivity captive, you talk about repairing the doors, he finished it. Did he not finish it? Was there anything else to be done? Nope. It was perfect. It was exact. And there he brought in that company, the full overcomers of the Old Testament. So that kind of sets the stage for what we have. Now, let's turn on over to 2 Chronicles. And let's go on over to chapter 34. Now what we have here is King Josiah. King Josiah comes after Hezekiah. I believe it's 1, 2, 3 generations, all right? In 3 generations, you know what happens to the tabernacle again? They shut the doors. The doors need to be opened again. The doors need to be repaired again. They did the same old sad falling away from God. But the Lord gives the more grace. And here he even brings in King Josiah, which wasn't just the greatest king before or after of Israel. He's just the king that trusted in the Lord and loved the Lord and went after the Lord more than any other king before or after him. Isn't that something? He might have even had a heart that excelled even his father David. I don't know. But I'll tell you, as you read about Josiah, he sure did have a heart for God. It's amazing the boldness that that sweet young child, even at 8 years old, God graced his heart. Praise the Lord. And we're going to see he had a godly mother as well, too. Lots of things fall into place with this. But let's read 2 Chronicles. Chapter 34, verses 8 and 9, all right? Now, this again is King Josiah, and we're in the 18th year of his reign, all right? When he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. All right? So we're having the same kind of setup here again. All right? And it was these three. And matter of fact, the very first one is the scribe. The second one is the governor. And the third one is the recorder. I'm going to go back to that here in just a minute. Okay? So you got three. All right? So those three, Josiah sends to repair the house of the Lord. And when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God. Now, wait a second here. Hezekiah brought in the priests, but the very first thing that Josiah had brought into the house of God is the money. All right? We're going to find out what that money means here in just a second. But it says, so he brought the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors and gathered of the hand of Manasseh, and of Ephraim, and of the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. Now, God willing, when we get together next time, if we get together next time here, I don't know. But I'm sure we'll talk about this in heaven for all ages to come as well, too. Just those names that I just read, Ephraim, Manasseh, Benjamin, all of those, if you remember the studies that we had in Joseph and on the highlights in Joseph, and as we went back through Revelation, talk about the jewels in the city. On the breastplate, praise be to God, the hardest jewels, the most valuable ones, the ones that spoke of the bride, those are all of those precious names that I just read. And they all represent the full overcomers of the New Testament. It's all that precious line that came down. It's glorious. We'll get into that a little bit further. Don't want to get lost in the weeds tonight. I just want to get lost in love here for about the next 10 minutes. All right? So you can see Hezekiah brought in the priests. All right? Josiah, what did he have brought in? The money. I want to talk about that word money and what it means. That money obviously represented silver. But the money, as you go in and you start looking at that word and the definition of it and the root word of it and all of that, it was something that was gloriously white. It was golden. But the best definition, where all of the root comes from, it was the thing that was longed for. Josiah represents the full overcomers of the Old Testament, that those reigning ones, the thing longed for, the bride, the pearl of great price. It wasn't the priests that were brought in. And I'm starting to see more and more in the depth of these things. And I believe the Lord's laying it out in my heart. And I mentioned it in some of the studies. When we get into Revelation, where it says he's made us kings and priests, the four living ones and the 24 elders are both saying that. I believe there's a unity, but I believe there's also two divisions in that as well too. Seeing it more and more. But that'll be another time. But they brought in the money. He brought in the thing longed for. When heaven opens up that second time, see, heaven's been opened up, you know, whether it was for Enoch, it was opened up, whether it was for Elijah. The Lord can open it, close it, whatever he's going to do, all right? But since Pentecost, all right, I shouldn't say since Pentecost, but since our Lord and Savior passed and then rose again, all right, when he died and rose again, the very first time, what he did is he opened heaven up and he brought in the 24 elders. He brought in the full overcomers of the Old Testament. All right. Now he's going to open up heaven the second time. And when he opens up heaven the second time, you know what he's going to bring in there? The thing longed for. Yes, he is. He's going to bring in the money. He's going to bring in the pearl of great price. Do you know what a pearl of great price is? Money that has a value that you can never put a price on it. It's so valuable, it's the most precious thing to him. Matter of fact, it's so valuable, everything he ever made or created was for her. All things are yours and all things are for your sake. That's how valuable we are. And that is the thing that is longed for. That is why our Savior sits at the right hand of the Father right now, looking and waiting on the only thing he does not know is when he's going to go and call to him the thing that he has longed for since the foundation or before the foundation of the world. Amen? Amen. Okay. So we can see how the Lord sets this up for us. I don't think you have to stretch with this. This is so incredible. But it even gets even more obvious, more real, and more true. Because look at this. Remember, as I just mentioned here, the three that brought that in. It was the scribe, it was the governor, and it was the recorder. All right? Well, first of all, let's talk about the scribe and what that means. The scribe was the one that added everything up. That's the Father. That is our Father. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's who is preparing and doing the work on the bride. It's the truth. Now, let's go over to Matthew 25 when we talk about the Father basically adding everything up, that has completed everything, that is basically this is his plan. In Matthew 25 and in verse 14, we have a parable. It says in 25:14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Now jump to 19. To 19. And it says, "And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." What this parable is about the five, the two, and the one talents. All those talents that were given. All right? He comes back to reckon with them. He comes back to count, to add up. What have you done with what I gave to you? The Father gave us everything in his Son. The Father, because of giving us his Son, he blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. I thank the Lord so much that what we are the evidence of is the very plan of the Father. And we thank God that it is the Father who is seeking for his Son, counting it, reckoning it, all of those things, that one that will worship him in spirit and in truth. So that's the first of the three that brings or causes the thing longed for to be brought in to the, if you will, the tabernacle, but really to the city. Praise God. Now, here we go. The second one is the governor, and it's so incredible. In the Hebrew, the governor means the chief ruler of Jerusalem, the ruler of rulers. Who's the chief ruler of Jerusalem? I believe he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They even wrote it down, the King of the Jews. Isn't that beautiful? So you have the Father, you have the Son, and then finally you have the recorder. And what that recorder did, and what the word recorder means in the Hebrew, is the one who brings to remembrance. So turn over to John chapter 14. Let's talk about the one who brings to remembrance. The Father, the Son, and now we're at the Holy Ghost. John 14, 26. This is Jesus telling them about the Comforter, about the Holy Ghost, about the Spirit of Truth. And what does he say in John 14, 26? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and what? And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. They wrote those things for us. It's of kings to search out a matter. I thank the Lord, brothers and sisters, that the Spirit can bring us to the truth. And we can be studying. Not that we're looking for depth. And don't ever really do that. Don't. Just ask the Lord. Lord, reveal what you have for me. And I thank the Lord. He probably caught my attention with this. I think it was yesterday morning. And I kid you not. He just had me going back and looking at this again and looking at this again. And I said, now, wait a second, honey. Let's talk about all those line up on line and precept on precept and here a little and there a little and all these different things. I want to start opening something up to you. And then as you get into the names, and then as you get into the East Gate, and then as you get into Ephraim, Manasseh, Benjamin, and then you start looking at the stones on the breastplate. Did you know that those three tribes, where it would talk about Manasseh and Ephraim and Joseph, those three, or Benjamin, excuse me, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin, those three stones were the last three stones on the breastplate. Those three stones were not at the East Gate, those three tribes. Matter of fact, they were at the complete opposite side on the West Gate. But when you go and you get to Revelation, you know the first three stones that are mentioned in Revelation as you come into the city? Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh. It all flipped. It all became first. It all became the East Street or the East Gate. It's just glorious. And I thank God that in these little layers that we have as we study these perfect-hearted kings, it's the perfect heart that God's already given us in us. Amen. And they wrote these things. And the revelation, it's just like whether it's in the Song of Solomon or whether it's in the book of Ruth or whether it's in the book of Esther or whether it's in Genesis 24 or whether it's in the garden where, the Lord, the Father and Christ are speaking together. It's not good for man to live alone. All those things are written for us. That's our story. These are all things that were brought out. These are all things that were there, but they're ours. Isn't that glorious? And you think, Lord, you're just thinking of me all the time. You've been thinking of me since beginning. And now, praise God, you've brought us to the time we think about each other. We've grown to the place of a completeness, brothers and sisters, that as it says in Colossians, that what was written of Paul, that mystery that was given to Paul, completes the word, completes our Savior. We're the bride, praise God, that completes our bridegroom. The oneness of all of that that comes in. And I just think, oh Jesus, you brought your friends in. You brought the priests in. You've got them with you. You love them so much. You know what? God saw fit that you wanted and needed encouragement while you were waiting for her. Isn't that glorious to think about our precious Jesus? Well, how could he not be that way? As he said even to the disciples, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. I love you guys. I know you're going to desert me, but I love you because I know the end of the story. I know what you're going to be to me. I know you're going to rule upon the 12 thrones, or those over the 12 tribes for me, with me. All the things that we're going to do together. And just like all of the Old Testament glories, all the things that we're going to do together. But then, brothers, you're going to go into this place, praise God, and you're going to be with me and abide with me there, and the revelation that's going to go on, and what you're going to be waiting for, because the earnest expectation of all creation waiteth and groaneth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The harmony, the perfection that's in this plan, not a story, but this plan for us with Christ. It's so glorious, brothers and sisters. And then to think that this is the only thing that will abide and remain forever. To think what he's shown us and what is in here for us. And then to look at it and to say, oh Lord, but what are you going to reveal? What more that will never end? You almost can't stop. Praise the Lord. Let's stand, be dismissed.